minutes, which left when we completed our first communication as a family of five. And I think things went pretty well most of the time, except maybe the drive home was a little bit long. But that happens. Bob, I want to again thank you for sharing the message last week. I'm sure that those of you who were touched and were challenged, and that very thing, very interesting thing happened last Sunday morning while we were in Charlotte with some friends. One of the messages that God laid on the preacher's heart was from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16-21. Those of you who realized the week might think that sounds a bit familiar, it's the same passage that Bob preached from. I'm thinking God really had something important to say to us from those verses. Maybe he just had something important to say to me, like he was going to extremes to get something through my thin skull. And I realize it's surprising because sometimes it can take quite a bit to get through my thin skull. Maybe you can relate. Or maybe it's just me. And that's okay. But that's not the only experience that sticks out for us. Our city of Charlotte, aside from the crazy streets that we encountered while we're in the city itself, we had a really great time. It was a good time spending time catching up with old friends, and probably the highlight of the week. Don't worry, I'm not going to show you like a huge slideshow or anything like that. Probably not what we did. But the highlight of the week was probably this past Monday when we spent the day at Carolyn's amusement park. And while we were there, we discovered a pretty neat little secret to having a whole park to yourself. First, go on a weekday, because everyone goes on a weekend. And second, go on an evening that's hovering around 100 degrees. Because, well, you know, it's kind of insane to walk around the park and stand in the lines in that kind of heat all day. Just make sure you don't get heat stroke. If you do follow these two simple steps, you'll encounter empty lines all day long. Fortunately, there's free ice water and plenty of shade, so it wasn't quite as terrible as it sounds. While we were there, I was amazed about another discovery that I failed to make. My two older children love riding roller coasters. Now, I'm not talking about the little kiddie coasters that are gentle on the side and don't go too fast. These are the big, huge, gigantic roller coasters with names like the Cyclone, and the Hurler, and the Intimidator. Just hearing names like that and watching some of these drops from those rides can make you feel a little bit like heaven. But the kids were excited to try them. Maybe they didn't know any better. Maybe they were more fearless because their friend Caleb was there with them. I don't know, but after riding some of the more tame roller coasters that were for adults, they also decided that it was time to ride one of the big ones, one of the more hardcore ones. The Carolina Cobra. That picture isn't good justice at all. It's a scary looking beast. So he, Caleb, and Caleb's dad, Frank, got in line. And because the lines were so short, there was very little time for her to talk herself out of getting on that ride. The Cobra is pretty intimidating when you look at it. You load into the car, and they strap you in, and they pull you back up the ramp. So you're suspended there in air, waiting for the lock to release, and they're going to send you to your doom. Thrills, whatever you want to call it. And actually, it might be easier for me to show you a brief video. I did not take this video. But if I showed you a brief video, what if I made the meeting? Roll tape. You might have to do that one more time. think the people had to skip it too. Yeah, to be there. When Allison finally got onto her car, into her railroad car, or her roller coaster car, Mom and I are sitting there at the bottom, and our hearts, of course, skipped a beat. It's okay, go ahead, the next one. Very sure. Our hearts skipped a beat or two as it waited for the seat like an eternity, as we watched our daughter dangle there in the middle of the sky. Our bodies raced through all kinds of scenarios. What could possibly happen to her while she was on this monster of a ride? Of course, none of that happened, but we were all so full of these what-if questions. What if the seatbelt wasn't put on right? Or what if this is the one time that bolt comes off and, you know, the cars come flying off? And, you know, the more I think of it, the more I realize that this roller coaster ride and others like it could really be a good example of what life is like as a follower of Jesus Christ. It's full of twists and turns and the highest mountaintop experiences, and it also has some deep, difficult values and questions, and even some uncertainty. But at the end, it's the most exhilarating thing that you've ever experienced. You want to get right back. And again. I can't help but think of the Apostle Peter when contemplating the ups and downs of life as a follower of Jesus. If you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, please turn to the Gospel of Matthew, which is the first book of the New Testament. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. If you don't have your Bible with you, you're welcome to use the one in front of you. Matthew 4, 18 is on page 837. It was read to you by us. After Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, he went to the wilderness and was tempted by Satan for 40 days. And after his time of fasting was completed, Jesus emerged from the wilderness, preaching a fiery message about the kingdom of God and urging those who heard to repent. While walking along the countryside, Jesus came upon a small outfit of fishermen. That's where we're picking up the story of the searchers in Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets, and they followed him. And so, it began. If you have your Bibles open, keep them open because we're going to take a look at another part of Peter's story here in a moment. But right here we see as Jesus began his ministry, he was regularly bumping into fishermen and tax collectors and political activists and other people, inviting them all to follow him. Astonishingly, these men, beginning with Peter and his brother, abandoned their careers, their families, and their futures to follow Jesus. They had heard a simple invitation: follow me. And they responded with reckless abandon. Sure, there was uncertainty. Sure, there was a risk of failure. Sure, it would have been a disaster like a roller coaster flying off the tracks. Why would Peter give up all he knew to follow Jesus? Because what he didn't know. Because somehow, life with Jesus is what he had been searching for all his life. Something about Jesus drew Peter in, and he knew that life's greatest adventure was waiting just beyond the limits of a calm, easy, careful, predictable life. He knew that there was something waiting for him that was just beyond his reach, and that same longing for something more, something greater, something real, something easier for a camel to pass through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Things that conventional wisdom says you don't say in order to get people to follow you, in order to become popular. But Jesus steps surprisingly up with twists and turns and unforeseen rises and deaths. The party of nature following Jesus in the fact that it's unpredictable. He cannot be confined to our limited understanding of who God is and what he should be doing. The following Jesus is also full of great, amazing, wonderful surprises and exhilarating experiences along the way. Peter was an eyewitness to the most amazing miracles anyone had ever seen. Jesus made the blind to see. Those who could not walk were able to get up and walk. The broken were made whole. The sick were healed. Thousands of people were fed with just a few scraps of food. And the dead were made alive. Again. Nearly every step along the way, Peter was smacked in the face with a new realization of Jesus, or from Jesus and not himself. Peter surely felt like he was on something like a roller coaster. This could be the most depressing story I've ever told in the history of human storytelling. And that was the end. Everyone abandoned Jesus, even the most vocal and loud. show that same kind of boldness? Do I show that same kind of boldness on Tuesday? Is it even here on Sunday? Or are we like Peter? Cowering in the corner when things get too tough. Are there the valleys we've encountered when following Jesus have been too long and too dark? Are there the climates too steep to really go forth forever? Ever want to just throw up your hands and say, I can't take it anymore. Enough. Okay. If you search down deep enough, I take a guess that somewhere along your journey you've been tempted to say something like that. And if you haven't, you will be tempted. Somewhere along your journey of following Jesus, you've failed. In his heart, he was still a failure of colossal proportions. There was no way he could ever forgive himself for giving up on Jesus. And that's what Jesus invited to a breakfast on the beach. A breakfast consisting of bread and fish cooked on a charcoal fire. The same kind of fire that Peter stood beside when he denied Jesus. Sweat and tears. Is it really worth it? talks to you about this journey with Jesus, you can't stop talking about it. You want others to be part of this journey as well. It's not something that you force. It's a conversation that just happens because it has totally consumed you. In fact, I'll bet if you guys stayed in an after the service about the Carolina Cobra, almost a week later, you will talk your ear off about it. It was that inspiring. It was that life-changing. That's nothing compared to the journey of Jesus. Are you on that journey, or have you put yourself in the park and decided to wait on the sidelines? Being on the journey doesn't necessarily mean you're not just going to lead you halfway around the world to share the good news of Jesus, or to build wells, or to care for orphan homes. He might. He might be inviting you to follow him across the street, or on the block, or even into the next group to share his love with someone desperately needs to know Jesus. The adventure has just begun. An invitation to